I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And do we have a great show for you this week?
Is that a question? Because if it is, the answer is a great big yes. We do have a great show.
I would expect nothing less, Audrey. And I believe this is our last episode of 2018.
Yes, that's correct. We'll be taking a holiday break for the week of December 25th. We'll start off the new year on January 1 with a special broadcast with eBay's VP of Selling, Bob Cuppins, who will host our annual Look Back, Look Ahead New Year's episode.
Wait a minute. Annual? Won't this be the first one? I mean, we've only been live since August.
And we'll be back in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and so on. So yes, annual.
I get it. You are confident Selling on eBay will still be around then. I like that energy. So who do you have for this week, Audrey?
Well, it's that time of year when many sellers are planning ahead for 2019 and are putting together their clearance plans for clearing away old inventory to make way for the new.
That's always a wise strategy.
Indeed. And on the main story, we'll talk to two sellers who will share their year-end clearance plans with us. You won't want to miss that.
Excellent. What's up for Inside eBay this week?
Remember Marnie Levine?
Well, of course I do.
She was Senior Director of Seller Experience.
Was? Really?
Marnie has a new role here at eBay, one that fits her years of experience in retail, specifically merchandising. She's now the VP of Hard Goods in the Merchandising Department, and she's going to give us some tips on how sellers can do a great end-of-year clearance sale.
Yeah, you know, not enough sellers give consideration to end-of-year clearance, and with what we're going to talk to those two sellers and with Marnie, this can really boost your sales and get rid of the old and bring in the new.
That's what we're talking about.
I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
So there's that, and of course, Liz returns with a new edition of What's Hot, and Alan brings us The Buzz.
Well, it sounds like we have a show. Shall we begin?
Yes, we shall. Up next, Alan Aisbitt with The Buzz. And now, here with The Buzz, as usual, we welcome back Alan Aisbitt.
Thanks, Audrey. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Any big plans?
Yeah, I'm heading to a cabin in the woods.
Isn't that a horror movie?
It is.
Hope that doesn't come to pass.
Exactly. I hope it's a nice, quiet, relaxing Christmas.
Very nice. And you'll be disconnected from all your devices?
No, I made sure we have super fast broadband so I can be on call whenever eBay needs me.
I don't think that's the right answer. Well, anyway, watch out for Bigfoot up in those woods.
We will. We've been warned.
So what do you have for us in The Buzz this week?
Well, let's start with something serious.
Okay.
How can it be the holidays without talking about ugly Christmas sweaters?
I agree. Do you have any?
I do. I have lots of them. Every year I go on eBay and I try and find the ugliest one possible. I usually look at different categories, look at men's, women's, cardigans, see what I can find and get the ugliest one. So I have a whole collection of them.
Wow. You're very festive. I have one ugly Christmas sweater. It's gray and it's got an abominable snowman on it.
Oh.
And it says, "Who's Yeti to party?"
Love it.
I love a terrible pun.
I'm always Yeti to party. FYI.
Okay, good to know.
Well, the reason I mention this is the website The Daily Beast recently ran an article entitled How the Ugly Christmas Sweater Conquered America, and that detailed the popularity of ugly sweaters on eBay.
Is this just an American thing?
No, we have them in Ireland too.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, the article quotes our own Bradford Shellhammer. He's the Vice President of Buyer Experience. Bradford told the Daily Beast that between September and November of this year, 26,000 holiday sweaters were sold on eBay, including one Shellhammer bought himself with a knit of the British singer Morrissey.
Isn't that Doug's obsession, Morrissey?
Morrissey?
Yeah, I think.
We better not tell him.
Hopefully he listens to the podcast.
Morrissey or Doug?
Hopefully it's Morrissey and Doug.
That would be cool. Hi, Morrissey.
Hey. What else do you have?
Well, at the end of the year, we always look back. eBay recently ran a review of the Retail Revival Program, looking back and also looking forward.
That's a really great program. Didn't you work on it?
Yes, I attended the Lansing, Michigan Retail Revival, and it was a great event a couple of months back. In one of our early episodes, there was a segment where I interviewed sellers, and really, really great town with great inventory. And the great news is that we're going to be expanding it.
Well, how did Retail Revival do in 2018, and where's it going?
Well, it's going really well. In 2018, there were three Retail Revival cities, Akron, Ohio, Lansing, Michigan, and we also expanded into England. We were in Wolverhampton over in England. Plans are actively underway for at least three more cities in 2019, one of which will be outside the US.
And for folks that don't know what Retail Revival is, it's a program where eBay goes into disenfranchised or economically depressed cities and works with their retailers to bring their local inventory onto the site, onto eBay.
Exactly, yeah. Like a lot of young business owners set up a brick and mortar store and are comfortable dealing with customer service face to face and having that interaction in their store, but they might necessarily know how to sell online. So it's a great way of getting their local products and local inventory out exposed in front of eBay's 175 million buyers.
177, but who's counting?
177. I can name every one of them.
Right. So what are the results from last year's Retail Revival?
Of the 182 participating Retail Revival sellers, 60% were new to eBay. Retail Revival sellers have made 47,000 sales.
Woohoo!
And two Akron Retail Revival sellers, Five Blessings and Seventh Floor Clothing, went on to open brick and mortar locations this year.
That's great. Can't wait to hear more in 2019.
Yeah, me too.
So I saw something on eBay expanding the Authenticate program to include jewelry. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, eBay has expanded eBay Authenticate into the luxury jewelry category, offering holiday shoppers more than 45,000 high-end diamond and other gemstone jewelry. That's all verified by professional authenticators. And Audrey, did you know that 50,000 jewelry items are sold per day on eBay? That's more than 2,000 per hour, and one diamond ring is sold per minute. Audrey?
Oh, sorry, Alan. I was just texting my husband about eBay's Authenticate jewelry program. He needs to know about this.
He does, yeah. Get guaranteed shipping. You'll have it next week.
Oh, my gosh.
All good.
Well, yes, I do like shiny, pretty things.
Indeed. Well, that's all that fits this week.
All right. Happy holidays, Alan.
And also to you, Audrey.
Up next, we'll hear how two sellers who sell in very different categories do year-end clearance sales after Christmas on eBay. I'm Audrey, and today we're chatting with Lynn Drawley, a.k.a. the Queen of Auctions. She's a longtime seller. She specializes in dinnerware, flatware, antiques, and collectibles, and she's well-known in the eBay seller community. She's here to talk to us about how she does year-end clearance sales to get rid of old inventory. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're excited you're here. For the three sellers that don't know you, how long have you sold on eBay, and how did you get started?
Back in 1998, if you can believe it, my grandma had an antique store for 52 years in Bellingham, Washington. And we literally had a million things in inventory that never turned over because she didn't really care if she sold anything.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gal in town who was selling clothes on eBay, and she started bugging me back in like 1996, 1997. She's like, you got to try it. So finally we did. And, you know, back in the day, you had to host your own photos. It wasn't easy like it is now. But gosh, Audrey, once we started selling stuff, it was crazy. Things that had sat in my grandma's store for probably 40 years. We had a brass napkin holder with a bulldog on it from England. We had it marked $39.50, sold for $152. $250 and went back to England. So it just completely changed our business. All of a sudden, this little tiny store in Bellingham had a worldwide marketplace. We just ran with it, and I started teaching, writing books. I was able to close my grandma's store after she passed away and continue to sell on eBay for the past 20 years and raise my kids. I raised my kids on eBay money, which is the coolest thing ever.
And now what's your business model?
My business model has shifted a little bit. Still definitely listing the 100 items a week on eBay. Always got to have that new, it's not new inventory, you know, it's used, one of a kind, fresh to eBay. It's my goal, and I've been doing this for 20 years, 100 new things every week. Sometimes it's a challenge, but I buy a lot of dinner sets and flatware sets, and that helps those numbers go up. eBay's the core of my business. We have now, after 16 years of not having a brick and mortar store, I just opened a new brick and mortar store here in Ventura. It's great because we've got eBay in the back and the store in the front, just like it started at my grandma's. It's like really full circle. And stuff walks through the front door every day that I get to sell on eBay. I don't have to go out and pick as much anymore. I got a set of Ralph Lauren beautiful crystal that walked through the front door, a huge sun-kissed thermometer. That sold for like $250. So it's been really fun to add this new piece to the whole puzzle.
So how much inventory do you have right now?
We were at about 14,000 different SKUs, which is crazy, as of 3 months ago. And it was my goal by mid-January to get down to about 10,000.
And why would you go down?
Well, I just did this today, and I encourage everyone to do this. Go through your inventory and look at how much inventory or how many listings you have by year. I know eBay says, you know, if it's 16 months, you should reevaluate. What I'm selling, one of a kind, it can take 4 to 5 years. I wanted to get rid of everything in 2013. That's too old. So we've accomplished that so far this year. And I have my gal and the auctions. She goes and pulls the items. I take a look at them. And then I decide, do I want to relist them and repurpose them on eBay? Do I want to donate them? Or do I want to price them and put them out on the floor of the store? So it's been a really good cleansing for us to go through and look at this inventory and make those decisions. But I sat down and I looked at how many SKUs I have for each year. 2014, I have 2,100 SKUs. 2015, 2,400 SKUs. 2016, 2,700. 2017, 2,600, and again, 2018, 2,500. And it's going to be our goal after the holidays to try to weed through those 2,100 pieces that are still listed from 2014. But you know, it's a real crapshoot, Audrey, because I looked at what we sold over the weekend, and we sold 3 things that were listed in 2014. We sold 4 things that were listed in 2015, 2 from 2016, 4 from 2017, and 7 from 2018. So you really don't want to get rid of that old inventory.
Okay, so let's fast forward a few weeks from now. It's after Christmas, and you're looking to clear out some of your inventory. What's your strategy?
Okay. I run markdown promotions all the time. I firmly believe that you have to be running the spend $50, get an extra 10% off all the time, because it keeps people's eyes on your listings. It won't show them other sellers' items. That's the most important thing you should be running. Then I'm always running something anywhere from 5% off to 25% off on every category I have. The key to that is don't run them for the 4 weeks or whatever that eBay automatically puts for you. People want to see that a sale is ending in 3 days. We've got to run these sales shorter time periods so that they see that. I try to run my sales for 7 to 14 days so that they'll get that sense of urgency. I'm going to continue with that until probably like mid-January, because from doing this for so many years, I know that people, once Christmas is over, they start buying for themselves. My business is super strong through that time period. So I don't really want to do any deep discounts till probably about mid-January. And then I'm going to do 50% off all of my 2014 stock. The way to do that is in promotions, by picking the 500 of the oldest, putting those on sale at 50% off. And I'll go in and do that 5 times till I get all of my inventory from 2014 at 50% off. And we'll see what happens.
Any other factors that goes into which items to put on sale?
Yeah, I do like to run category sales year round. For the year end, that's when I start doing the oldest inventory. You want to be refreshing it. So you want to get rid of that old stuff. And I definitely am going to do it by days that they've been on the site.
How are you promoting your end of season sale? Do you do social media or any other ways of marketing these markdowns?
You know, I don't think I have to. I'm not the kind of seller, a commodity seller, where people are following me like I sell dog food. They are looking for a unique item. And if I have it, they're going to buy it if it's what they're looking for. So it's not something that I feel the need to promote like that. I don't know if that makes sense. I can shoot out an Instagram and say, hey, my eBay store's on sale. But if they're not looking for a coffee mug that says best mom in the world, it just doesn't seem like it makes as much sense as if you're selling to regular buyers. I don't have any regular customers. I wish I had a lot of repeat buyers, but in this unique one-of-a-kind marketplace, it's very rare.
So how do you decide what to offer? Is it by category, like all flatware will be 25% off, or do you look at each individual item and decide the offer?
When I pull up by days listed on the site and take a look at the inventory, I will choose not to put some of those items on the 50% off. Because you're looking at such a small set of SKUs, I'm only looking at 500 things, I can quickly scroll through it. And if I see something that is a valuable antique that belonged to my grandmother and I'm asking $5,000 for it, I'm not going to put it on 50% off. So that tool on eBay enables me to go through and I'll check like the 200 that I can check, and then I'll quickly scan through it and I will take a couple off that I don't feel need to be 50% off. And then the rest of the year, I consistently run sales anywhere from 5% off to 25% off. And I do those by category. Like I'll put all coffee mugs on sale, and I'll put all dinnerware on sale, and I'll put all flatware on sale, because I really do think that it drives your business. And like, I'll talk to a lot of my followers and they'll be like, oh, my business is down and I'm not selling anything. I'm like, are you running promotions? And they'll be like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not.
Your end of season sale is actually going to start mid-January, because you mentioned that you see some self-gifting at the beginning of January. How long will that run for?
I'll tell you, self-gifting starts about noon on Christmas. And people really, really start shopping for themselves. And it's great to see. They're finally not feeling guilty for buying things for themselves. So I'll start the sales probably, you know, mid-January. I'll run 7 days here and then, you know, maybe wait a couple days, run another 5 day, run a 7 day. I'll run it through probably the end of February. You know how much work it is to list one thing. Keeping that in mind, we've done all the work for these things. So if we can get them sold before we decide to donate, it's to our benefit because the work's been done.
Any final tips?
I would be just very analytical. I would start looking at how many SKUs do you have by year? What are your best categories? Maybe you need to kickstart one of your categories. Maybe you need to really mark down your coffee mugs or mark down your neckties. As an example, we have hundreds of neckties listed and they haven't been selling at all. I should put a 50% off on neckties and try and move some of those out, because that's just the perfect Christmas gift, isn't it?
Right, exactly.
Just be very mindful and know your business. Know what you're doing. Know what you have money in. And I feel like as we do this over the years, we get smarter and smarter. And I look back at some of the things that are still listed from 2014 and I'm like, why did I buy that? I know so much more now.
Right.
So know your market, know your buyer, and know your inventory.
Okay, Lynn, thank you so much for chatting with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Lynn Drolley, a.k.a. the Queen of Auctions, on her year-end clearance sales strategies. Now let's hear from Spencer Applin, owner of 541 Motorsports, a parts and accessories business out of Grants Pass, Oregon. Spencer was a 2016 Shine Award winner in the growing business category. Welcome, Spencer.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So briefly, tell us your eBay story. How did you get started? What do you sell? And do you specialize in anything in particular?
So I first started on eBay when I was probably 13, 14 with little things, video games, stuff like that. So when I graduated high school, I moved on to auto parts. I was going to school in Corvallis, Oregon, and I was just kind of selling things here and there to supplement my income, and decided to move on to car parts. Started with just a car that I had bought to take some parts off of it and make my car a little cooler and have some parts put on it, and took all the rest of the leftovers. Decided I'll just try selling them on eBay. So that's how it started, and that car started selling good on there, and all the parts were selling better than I thought. So I was like, well, I'll just try this again. So I bought a car specifically to sell on eBay, and it just kind of built up from there. And eventually I moved back home and left school just to do it full time and just kept going.
Do you specialize in anything particular, like Subarus or?
We specialize in more of the import, like four cylinder sporty cars that a lot of the like 20 year olds are really into. So that's kind of our bread and butter there.
You mentioned this, but you have an interesting way of sourcing, which is you buy an entire car and then part it out. Can you tell us how you keep track of all the parts from one car?
We get our cars from insurance companies, and every car that we get in, we attach a stock number to it. So each car may have 200 to 300 parts, but every one of those parts is linked to that stock number. So that's how we can kind of keep track of all the different parts that came off of that car.
And then using that stock number, you do some analysis to figure out how profitable each individual car is. So can you take us through that process?
I use a program called 6Bit that kind of keeps track of our inventory. And so I can run reports on everything that's sold from that car. So I'll just type in that stock number. It'll pull up every order that anybody's placed. It'll show all the fees and everything. So I can run reports with that data and see that I sold $3,000 worth of stuff off this car, and it took 30 days to do that. And so that's how I can keep track of everything.
And you do this for each individual car, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we do that on every car. So on every car, there's like 20 to 30 parts that are kind of like the hot ticket items. We know those are going to sell within like 30 days. And then the rest of the stuff is more of the slow moving. So we really try to get all those hot ticket items out in 30 to 60 days or less. And that's where we're going to get our money back. And then some of that slow moving stuff is actually where all our profit comes from. So that's what we're keeping an eye on, how fast that stuff, the hot ticket items, move out. So we can kind of get an idea of how often we should buy that type of car.
How often do you do that exercise?
So we like to look at them every probably 3 to 4 months. It kind of gets a nice batch of orders per stock number. If we do it a little sooner than that, there's not as much data as we'd like to see. So I'll try to get a full car online for 3 to 4 months and then evaluate how well it's doing from there.
So you're not only looking at each individual car, but how do you look at your inventory across the board? How do you kind of optimize that throughout the year?
On top of just looking at how that car sold, we'll look at those hot ticket parts and how quickly they move. Because if one of those parts sells within a week and then we have 3 months where we don't have one on there, we kind of like to see, like, is it worth it to get a couple extra in so we're not having that time period where we could have sold two or three? And so we kind of look at our sold history on those parts and see the gaps in availability. And we might buy more of those cars than we normally would just simply looking at stuff that is sold off the car specifically.
Nice. Did I just hear a cha-ching?
You did.
Very nice. Okay, so that's kind of how you optimize your inventory throughout the year. Now let's talk about the end of year, right? You do a kind of a clearance sale. So fast forward a few weeks from now, it's after Christmas, and you're looking to clear out some old inventory. What's your strategy for that time period?
We like to look at all of the stale inventory that we would consider stale anyway. Mm-hmm. And we look at that stuff that's been online 6 months, 8 months, a year. A lot of it's a year plus. And we look at it as it's gone through all the different seasons, like summer, winter, and different events happening around, and it's still sitting there for some reason. So we will run a markdown manager sale, and we'll scale the percentage based on how long it's been online. So if, like, let's say that 5% is our base. So anything 3 months or 6 months and older, we'll do 5%. And then 8 or 9 months and older, we'll do 10%. And then 12 plus, we'll do 15%, just to kind of push some of that stale stuff out just by getting that price down.
So you're determining that things are quote unquote stale based on how long they've been on the site, right?
Right. Yeah. And there's some variables to that, because we'll have multi-quantity listings where there's 20 or 30 things. And so we've sold stuff throughout and they're still been online for a long time. So we kind of obviously take those out of the equation, but more of our single quantity items that have just been sitting for months.
Now, how are you promoting these items? Are you using eBay promotional tools like Markdown Manager, or are you sharing them in social media?
we're doing the Markdown Manager sales. We're also promoting a lot of our listings, or I should say all of our listings. We're using the Promoted Listings tool. Most of our stuff is super specific, so it's not that competitive to get the promoted listings to pop up and result. A lot of people complain about the percentages, but we're running like 1-3% on some of these specific items, and they're popping right up, and I check it pretty frequently. And I mean, I can look at the dashboard and see how much impressions we're getting, the click-throughs and stuff. On a lot of our stuff, our click-through and conversion is actually higher than our overall results on our account. And then on top of that, we'll do a lot of Instagram and Facebook posts about our cars. So we always post when we get new cars in, we'll post like, hey, we've got this car, all the parts are now online. And then I'll also try to take advantage of when eBay posts site-wide coupons. I mean, I'm not specifically saying like, hey, this is my coupon, but I'll post on our social media like, hey, our entire store is 10% off today. Use promo code whatever sale10 or whatever eBay provides. And I'll just kind of take advantage of eBay offering that and make it kind of seem like it's our offering as well.
So Spencer, how do you decide your offer? You mentioned that you look at the staleness of a listing, but do you also look at it by category, like all steering wheels will be 25% off?
Not so much on that, because most of the product, it's just stale, and it's in such a wide variety of 100 or so categories. And it's not so much that any specific part needs that markdown to convert. It's just more of the, we sifted out all the hot ticket items and now we're down to the stale stuff. So that just needs an extra incentive for someone to buy it, whether it be the 10% off or what. But it's not necessarily specific by category for me.
And how long will you run your year-end sale?
The year-end sale is going to run in January on and off. I like to kind of run 3-5 day sales so you can kind of see that countdown on there as a customer. Add a little sense of urgency, and I just feel like it works a little bit better than running like a month-long sale and it's just kind of always there. Seeing the 24-hour clock countdown kind of gives them a little more incentive, and then I just will relist the promotion after it ends, so there'll be gaps of a day or two or whatever, but I'll pop them back up on there.
You told me recently that you started to play with Make an Offer to Watchers.
Yeah, so I was really excited about that. But at the same time, I'm not a fan of Best Offer. Part of my issue is I have almost 30,000 things online. It sounds like a good thing, but I'm getting offers constantly. And it's a lot to take in, and I'll have like 50 or 60 unpaid item cases open. And it's kind of a can of worms, but I was really excited about that feature specifically. So I figured I'd try it out. So last night, I enabled it on my first listing. I just went to my most expensive listing that I had online and switched it to have a best offer and submitted that. So I did that at about 5, like right when I was leaving my shop. And mm-hmm. Before I got to my house at 5:15, I had someone that had accepted my submitted offer. So I was pretty excited about that it only took 15 minutes.
Very nice. Any other tips to help sellers clear out their old inventory, either as a year-end sale or optimizing throughout the year?
So other than the methods that I'm using, which I think they work great, depending on what type of inventory you have, it's always nice to bundle. Or if you have multiples of one item, you can do the volume discounts or buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one 10% off. Those kind of sales work pretty good depending on your inventory.
Thanks so much, Spencer. Great insights. Really appreciate your advice here.
All right.
We've been speaking with Spencer Applin, owner of 541 Motorsports on eBay, about how he manages his year-end inventory. Coming up next, we chat with Marnie Levine, VP of Hard Goods, about how to do a great year-end clearance sale on eBay. Hey, everybody. I'm Audrey from eBay, and I'm happy to introduce you to Marnie Levine, VP of Hard Goods at eBay. She's here to share some tips for how to run a great year-end clearance sale. Welcome, Marnie.
Thanks for having me, Audrey.
You have a long history of leadership roles in merchandising at retailers like Zulily and Banana Republic. Just so we're on the same page, what does merchandising mean to you?
Thanks, Audrey. I do have a long history, over 20 years. And what merchandising has meant to me throughout my career is really all about having an assortment of unique products at the right time, place, and price. It's all about supply and demand. And how you merchandise and catch people's eye and catch their attention is what makes them want to buy.
So you're the VP of hard goods at eBay. What does hard goods mean?
Well, hard goods is actually an internal phrase we use here at eBay. And really what it constitutes is the categories in which my team manages. And those are electronics, so everything from TVs to laptops to appliances to video games and video game consoles. Yes, that is all the rage for sure.
Mm-hmm.
My team also manages the motors and parts and accessories business, which is very lucrative on eBay, as well as our business-to-business and industrial area.
That's a massive amount of responsibility, and that represents a massive amount of inventory here at eBay.
It sure does.
You're working hard. We're recording this right now in mid-December, and we're at the peak of holiday shopping, but we're also looking a few weeks ahead to what we call post-holiday here at eBay, that period that starts immediately after Christmas. So what happens during that time frame?
I like to call it markdowns galore.
Mm-hmm.
As a seller, you really want to be cash rich and inventory poor at the end of the year. And I'll say that again, cash rich and inventory poor. You want to start things out in the new year clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
New year,
clean
new
slate.
Year. Yes, absolutely. I think we all want that, not only right. in our professional lives, but in our personal lives
exactly.
as well. So really get your markdowns ready, right? Buyers expect deep discounts. They're primed to shop for deals, and that's the mindset that they're in. If you're not in the business of doing deals or markdowns, the other thing that people are really looking for are those New Year, New You categories.
That's
so
true.
So fitness, obviously, is a big one. We all make our New Year's resolution to join a gym and lose a few pounds. So everything from fitness gear, yoga mats, exercise equipment are great products to display as well.
The script here mentions organization, like people want to get them their home organized,
yes.
lots of cubbies and whatnot. So
lots
that's
of cleanup, for
exactly.
sure. Get rid of the old, bring in the new, flip out those winter sweaters for those spring jackets. Anything organization does really well this time of year as well.
That's great. And other than those categories, are there certain categories that lend themselves well to year-end clearance sales?
Yeah, apparel. You know, fashion is always one where, you know, people are coming off of the holiday-centric items like boots and hats, scarves and gloves. And they're really looking, what's top of mind is really kind of fresh new spring look. And you'll see that across marketplaces and across retail. You'll see store windows looking spring and fresh and bright colors. And people really start getting in the mood of shopping for some new seasons.
And what about a promotion strategy for a post-holiday clearance sale? What do we recommend?
We have some great tools, obviously, here at eBay to run promotions. So use promotions, use deep discounts, use Promotions Manager to do a markdown sale event. Take a percentage off of a sale price is always a good one. And when doing your percentage off, make sure it's easily calculable. Really, you know, when you do some 15% off, that's harder to calculate than, let's say, 25% off or 50% off. So try not to let the customer think too much and really make it a very
right.
clear promotion.
68% off is tough math.
Yes, it is. And one of my favorites is volume pricing. So we launched this a couple of months ago. Volume pricing is great if you really are looking to, you know, clean out your inventory and get cash rich and inventory poor. Use volume pricing to drive items through your supply chain so you can start fresh in the new year.
And those volume pricing works great for items that sellers tend to kind of stock up and reuse over and over again, like printer toner or vitamins, some sort of repeatables is what we call them.
Absolutely.
Okay, and what about timing? How long should the sale go on?
Well, you know, that really depends on the seller, but usually right like December 25th, after you've kind of finished dinner and you've gone to the in-laws' house and come home, you know, people get back on their computers and start shopping. They know the deals start right away. The evening of Christmas evening and the 26th is when it starts. And really, it runs through kind of the full month of January. You know, post-holiday clearance sales, you know, they really run starting, like I said, December 25th in the evening all the way through January. So be ready to run those sales for the duration of that time.
Anything else sellers should know to do a great year-end clearance sale?
You know, one piece of advice I like to tell sellers is don't make them think. Don't make the buyer spork, right? Clearance works best when you go big, go bold, and be simple. And that's how you'll drive sales.
So no complicated offers like buy three, get 2.5 off. None of that weird stuff. Just,
no.
Just a straight, awesome deal.
Exactly. Big, bold, and simple is
Love
my
it.
Mantra.
Thank you, Marnie, for being here. And hopefully we will have you again on the podcast soon.
My pleasure. Anytime.
We've been speaking with VP of Hard Goods, Marnie Levine, about year-end clearance sales.
Coming up next, we've got What's Hot with Jordan Hettinger, Senior Director for Parts and Accessories at eBay. Hi, Jordan. Welcome to the Selling on eBay podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk about what is hot for winterizing, because it's the end of the year, but there's still maybe several months worth of winter ahead of you and depending on where you are in the country. But before we get started, what is your role at eBay and what does winterizing mean to you as it relates to your category? It's a new term for me, winterizing.
Well, here in California, it doesn't necessarily apply
That's
to
true.
As many of the products I'll mention, but so I run the parts and accessories business here at eBay. Whether you're talking about your home and making sure that you keep the cold out and the warm in, whether you're talking about your vehicle and making sure that it stays right on track and ready to use next spring, or I guess fashion, which I'll leave to you, just making sure that you're ready for the cold and that everything's ready when you come back to it.
So what items are buyers searching for to winterize their homes?
When you think about your home, think about some of the main things that you would need to be worried about to keep it warm, right? One of the first things that you should always want to think about is your furnace. And that comes in a couple of different things. The first is going to be your furnace filters. These are going to be what keeps the dust out, keeps the air clean. And when they clog, it can create inefficiencies for your heater. So you want to make sure that you keep those up to date.
Okay.
The other thing that you can look at is your thermostat. So if you think about the thermostat as the brain center of your heater, having that available and using some of the newest adaptive technologies like a Nest thermostat or a Wi-Fi thermostat from Honeywell, these can help you control the temperature in your house even when you're not there.
So are you looking after home automation in parts and accessories?
Not at all. I'm just coming up with this right off of what I know.
Oh, I see.
I'm a mechanic by trade, so you got to know how to fix a furnace too if you can fix a car.
See, it truly is parts and accessories. I would just go in thinking, okay, furnace, let's search for a furnace on eBay. But we actually get all the parts and accessories related to the furnace.
We sell furnaces and we've got plenty of parts for them too. Depending on how good your furnace is, one of the other things that you can look at can be portable heaters. These are very popular on eBay, typically looking for a price point between $125 and $150. They can be of any different type, but very popular to have space heaters when you've got rooms that don't necessarily get as much heat from your core heater, so just a little bit more adaptive.
Okay.
One of the things that happens during winter comes as a surprise in some places, and a product that's applicable in other times of the year. It can be a generator. If you've got a snowstorm that knocks out your power, you could have a hurricane that knocks out your power. Out here, we have fires, earthquakes, take your pick. Generator is always a great way to make sure that you've got a backup source of power, keep your refrigerator running, keep your phones charged, keep your kids' tablets charged, whatever you need to do.
Very important.
You got to survive the winter. So having a generator as a backup is a great option. And with that, thinking about the storms that can impact your home and that you'd want to be able to take care of, storm windows and doors are an option. These are overlays that help protect the door from the outside, as well as window sealants. So think about the gaskets that go around your doors and windows to keep all the rest of that air out. Right time of year to be checking those and replacing them.
Okay. So something then that you're going to be super passionate about is things outside of the home, like automobiles.
Definitely.
So what are buyers looking for to drive in inclement weather?
So the number one thing that comes to mind is going to be winter tires. And this is applicable wherever you are in the country. A winter tire might be an all-season tire, so something that's capable of handling a little bit of rain or some sleet and very light use in the snow, all the way up to a studded winter tire that's very important in places where you've got really deep snow and you need to be able to go all over the place.
A studded winter tire. That sounds studded very winter tire. Fancy.
Nice little metal studs that go all the way around and make sure you get good traction.
That is a good-looking tire.
Important in the ice. But so as a part of that, whether it's a winter tire, an all-season tire, another add-on for that is going to be a tire chain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a variety of options available, starting with a very basic cable chain. We see these in high demand at a price point under $50 in the category, going all the way up to about $150 for a large truck chain.
I have to say, I've had a winter tire chain as a stocking stuffer before. My dad gave me a winter tire chain.
He was worried about your safety when you're driving in the snow.
And then the next year he gave me a tire pressure reader valve thing.
Also important.
Such a dad present.
If you keep the tires inflated to the right pressure, good for fuel economy and just staying safe.
You must be a dad.
No, but I love tires. With tires, the only reason you need a tire is if the car can drive, and the only reason a car can drive is if it can start. Cold weather wreaks havoc on batteries. It can be difficult to get your vehicle started. One of the popular items that we see this time of year could be jump starters or jumper packs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are familiar with a traditional jumper cable. This is a great option also, but a jumper cable requires that you've got another vehicle with a good battery able to come to where your vehicle is and connect and get that vehicle started. Recent technology with batteries has allowed a portable battery pack, basically, that can be used as a jump starter rather than connecting other vehicle. These are very popular, again, with a price point under $50. Very easy, very portable, and maybe a great stocking stuffer.
So what you're taking us through is buyer behavior and what they're searching for.
They're looking for this stuff right now. And we've got a winter necessities page on eBay right now that highlights all that inventory.
Brilliant. And you can find that page.
The easiest thing to do is to Google eBay winter necessities and be right at the top.
Easy.
You know, one of the other things that you'll find in there is going to be all-weather floor mats. Similar to the all-season tire, an all-weather floor mat gets you ready whatever the weather might bring. A lot of times you'll see these that can be perfectly fit to the vehicle, as well as things as basic as a universal fit liner that drops right in. useful in the snow, useful when your kids drop Cheerios, whatever it might be, protect the floor. We see these moving very fast with a universal part under $20 and with direct fit parts as high as $150 to $200.
And I'm assuming not just right now because of winterizing. They must sell year round.
Year round. They're great in the when you're coming back from the beach. They're great when you're coming out of the field. Whatever you got, if you're dirty, it keeps your carpets clean. The only other thing that I would talk about as far as your car or your truck, it's going to be a remote start kit.
A what?
If you want to be able to start your car remotely, whether it's from an app on your phone or from the key fob, these are a popular add-on for a lot of vehicles. Let you start the car from inside the house where you're nice and warm. Get the car nice and warm before you get in it.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, they're great. Although never used in California. Not sure why you'd need it. We typically see those selling around $150.
And I'm assuming the same applies for boats and RVs.
It does, but a little bit different. Not too sure how many of our folks on the show today would be taking their boat out in the winter.
True. Good
Probably
point.
Probably a lot of folks out there that might be sliding on the ice if they tried to do that. But that's what makes it important to winterize your boat as well. Typically, with the winterization of a boat, you've got a few different things that you'd want to take care of. Typically, you're going to want to make sure you drain all of the cooling water out of the boat. Sometimes you'll see doing an oil or a fuel filter change. This also helps you get prepped for the next season. And a lot of times you'll see folks putting covers on their boats, again, to keep some of that inclement weather out. The last thing you may want to consider is a fuel stabilizer. This is so that any fuel that's left inside the vehicle stays prepped, ready for the next year, and doesn't cause any fouling inside the engine.
Fouling?
Fouling, yeah.
What is that exactly?
It makes it dirty. Gasoline gums up and gets stuck in places you don't want it stuck.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's on your boat. All of those products, again, hot. They're very popular for this time of year. A lot of folks trying to make sure they keep their boats ready for next year. And then RVs. So if you think about an RV, it's basically that same house that we were talking about, but it just has wheels on it.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're doing very similar things to what I just mentioned. Make sure that your antifreeze is all correct. You want to make sure that you drain all of your freshwater and wastewater tanks. Add antifreeze where applicable in those cases. Be careful to make sure you take care of that same thing for your generator, because you've typically got a generator on board. So you want to make sure you do your services there. And then same thing for a cover. A lot of folks like to make sure they keep the RV covered. The roof's often susceptible to damage in the storm, so keeping the RV covered can keep it looking nice and keep it strong for a long time.
So, Jordan, you're not only giving us great selling insights, you're giving us great life
yeah,
insights
take care
right
of
now.
Yeah, take care of your cars, take care of your boats, they'll take care of you.
And all will be well.
Exactly. A couple things to call out there for you. Some brands that we see that are big in winterization for the RV and boat markets: Camco, Valterra, Fumoto for oil drains, Peak for antifreezes. There's a huge representation of parts available for catering to these needs, and all of them hot on eBay.
Brilliant. Awesome insights. Well, just thinking about all these things and winterization's making me feel cold. And because I've noticed the cold spell, I don't know about you.
Not too bad for me, but I spend most of my time in SoCal.
Well, there we go. We spoke last week about winterizing fashion that buyers are searching for right now. But as a reminder, it's men's coats, jackets and sweaters, men's boots and slippers, slippers for gifting, of course. And then women's scarves, gloves, and mittens for gifting and sacks and things.
You know, I wouldn't mind some mittens either. I guess it does get cold enough once in a while.
I was going to say, what's your go-to winter clothing, Jordan?
Pants.
Mittens. Pants.
Got to make sure you
also
got long
essential.
Pants. Yeah. No shorts during the wintertime.
Well, that wraps up what's hot for this week, or what's cold, as Griff would like to say. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Jordan. Hey. We'd love to have you back next year.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'll come back even before that if you're ready.
We've been chatting to Jordan Hettinger, Senior Director for Parts and Accessories at eBay.
Well, Audrey, that's our show for this week, and it's our last episode for 2018.
What a year it's been. We launched our new podcast in August, and it seems like we've been doing it for years. I guess that's a good sign, right?
Absolutely, Audrey. We've covered a lot of ground in just 5 months, but not to worry, there are hundreds of months yet to come.
That's right. And if you want to be part of the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can actually be part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
That's right. You can call us at 888-723-4630, and you can call that hotline at any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Are you a shy person?
Well, me, no.
Don't want to be live on the show? Not to worry. We have our very own email address where you can also send your questions if you prefer. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
And now it's time for a short PSA. This is the time of year when an eBay seller can find herself cooped up in her home with no meaningful face-to-face human contact. outside of her spouse or family or pet cats. Don't lose your mind this winter. Go visit with other eBay sellers at a local meetup in your area. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. You can find that at facebook.com/eBay for Business.
And now, the credits.
All right. Presenting the Selling on eBay team. Director of Community, Senior Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Host, that's you, Griff.
That's me. Script writer and co-host, Audrey Tracy.
That's you. Me.
Yeah. And to all of our sellers, we wish you a happy holiday selling season.
And a safe and prosperous new year. We'll be back next year with a fresh new episode of Selling on eBay.
And Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Should we break out the eggnog?
Yeah, we'll put a little brandy in it.
A little brandy, a little vodka, a little rum.
What do you put in eggnog?
I don't know. It's got egg and it's got nog.
Right.
What's nog?
I don't know.
And why do they call it eggnog? We should go look that up. I actually like eggnog.
I love it.
Well, we'll have some. Here's to you. Ready?
All right.
Let me pour.
Blub, 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 blub.
Clink.
Clink. Cheers.
Cheers. See you next year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And to you and yours.